True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the, you know, I miss my cigar. I miss the fire pit and my cigar. I may just have to.
You got so spoiled.
I did get spoiled. Thrilled to have you with us tonight. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com. On social media, Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Quick programming note. Next Sunday, got some great guests. Former Republican Senator Phil Graham will be with us again. And my old buddy Tyrus be back with us from Fox News. I love having Tyrus on the show. He is, I've had him on the show a couple of times, and he's coming back to Kansas. So obviously we'll talk to him about that. And, I just love having Tyrus on. So we'll look forward to having him with us. Meanwhile, tonight we've got a fantastic show planned for you. Another dear friend, I was the pleasure of being her first radio interview. We had Riley Gaines on the show back in the day. She was back in Kansas earlier this week, visiting my old stomping grounds at the University of Kansas, where she spoke to a huge crowd as part of Turning Points USA's college tour. I sat down with Riley Thursday afternoon. We'll play my exclusive interview with her and some man on the streets conversations with a few of the, we'll be nice, we'll polite, and we'll say, wackadoodles who lined up outside to greet her. Rachel Ehrenfeld, author of The Soros Agenda, will explain why she says George Soros is trying to transform America. And Dr. Stanley Ridgely, author of DEI Exposed, will detail how the President's Department of Education has to date called to account the five Ivy League schools for their mismanagement. And, of course, we will wrap up our coverage of the legislative session with a veto session wrap-up with Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter, who will be with us here in just a few minutes. So, and, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. I don't know if you saw the news story that came out recently, but There was a story out of New Mexico not too long ago. It came out, I guess it was last week. The offices of New Mexico's Republican Party were hit by arson and graffiti, ICE equals KKK graffiti. Fortunately, no one was hurt. But the message and intent of the terrorists were clear, and that is, despite the fact that, you know, the elections, vast majorities voted for Trump, voted for his agenda, voted for across, you know, by the way, racial, class and gender lines. One of the major things that the president ran on was border enforcement. But despite that, the left wanted to make sure that we understood that, terrorism, they didn't care. They were going to burn things down until they got their way. And it's the same thing with the Tesla terrorists throwing, Molotov cocktails. They resent Elon Musk and Donald Trump's efforts to advance efficiency within the federal government. And this is all part of Trump derangement syndrome. And frankly, I think that TDS needs to be included in the statutory definition of mental illness. And I don't know if you've noticed something lately, but it's deliciously predictable. But every time Donald Trump so much as breathes, the left absolutely loses its collective mind. And we are witnessing in real time the full-blown clinical meltdown of Democrats, liberals, and their trusty lapdogs in the mainstream media. It's literally like Trump derangement syndrome has reached stage five, terminal. No clue. Just screams and tears and indictments and unhinged MSNBC segments. I mean, you've already seen one motion to impeach him on the House floor. Trust me, there will be more. And we're not just talking about political disagreements. Again, KKK, firebombs, Molotov cocktails. We're talking about an obsession here. We're talking about people who wake up in the morning angry at our president, who spend the entire day watching anti-Trump TikToks and CNN panels and then fall asleep muttering, you know, January 6th, like it's their bedtime prayer. These people are fighting Trump because some moral high ground they think they're standing upon. They're fighting him because he lives in their heads rent free. And not just in the corner of the brain where you keep a random opinion. He's got a full suite with walk-in closet. And that's where he lives. And, you know, keep in mind, these are the same folks who said Trump was finished. They said, you know, they had indictments. What were their 91 charges? And, you know, they were going to take him down. His poll numbers went up. They attacked him the stronger he got. And, you know, they tried to assassinate him twice. And yet he still won an election. This isn't about justice. It's not about democracy. It's about control. It's about the ruling elite, the career politicians, the swamp creatures. And frankly, it's sad. And boy, does it make them furious that they lost and they can't get over it. And here's the kicker, folks. They don't care about the truth anymore. They care about the narrative. Donald Trump could cure cancer, and they'd ask why he didn't do it sooner. He could bring world peace, and they'd accuse him of colluding with God knows who. And you know what they're really afraid of? They're afraid that Donald Trump was right about a whole lot of things. He was right about China. He was right about the border. He was right about the economy before COVID hit. He was right about the corruption in the intelligence agencies. And he was right about the media. Because Trump didn't expose the media. He just forced them to expose themselves. And that's why I say that Trump derangement syndrome has now, it's become an institutional thing. And the American people woke up to it. That's what woke means, if you ask me. And that's what happened last November. But Trump fights. And that's why they hate him. So when you hear the screeching, when you see the lawsuits, when you see Bernie Sanders and AOC at another socialism rally, when you read another hysterical op-ed about how democracy is on the line or the stock market is crashing or tariffs are going to ruin the country, don't panic, because that's not strength, that's fear. let not your heart be troubled. Let's not forget the stock market is not the economy. And right now, the economy is doing fairly well. Oil prices are down. Interest rates are down. Food prices are down. And, you know, a new poll just showed that the president's approval rating is up 53%, 4 points higher than a poll that was released just 2 weeks ago. That's because the average American, the blue-collar worker, Joe Lunchpail, understands that the president is trying to save the country and the left is terrified. They're afraid. That's why they're so deranged. I'm not saying Donald Trump is perfect. I'm saying he's necessary. And that's what terrifies them the most. We'll take a quick break, and then Rachel Ehrenfeld, author of The Soros Agenda, will explain why she says George Soros is trying to transform America from a thriving law and order democracy into a Sorostian world. I kind of like that word. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city and our county. If you're looking for a way to get involved, you know, there are a lot of campaigns that are starting to gear up, but if you don't know who to go volunteer for, who to work with, a great way to do that is to volunteer with Americans for Prosperity. If you want to get involved, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. For the past four decades, George Soros has been using his and other leftist multi-billionaire, politician, philanthropic, and other global networks to impose his vision on the world through his crafty termed Open Society Foundation. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, author of The Soros Agenda, is the founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy. She says Soros has been using that foundation and his money to transform America, a thriving law and order democracy, into what she says a Sorostian world. And she joins us now. Dr. Ehrenfeld, it's nice to have you back on the show again. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, it's interesting, and the left loves to demonize the Kochs, for example, but the media is constantly whining about the Koch brothers, but George Soros has been doing the exact same thing, if not worse, than what the Kochs ever dreamed of for decades, hasn't he?
Much, much worse and much longer and much more money. But in some instances, Koch and Soros joined efforts. So they established the Cure Institute in Washington, which is isolationist, anti-Israel, and anti-American very often, and pro-Iran. They actually funded the organization. When it began, it was $500,000 from one and $500 from the other. So, you know, sometimes they join efforts. But in each of the in each of Soros's contributions or funding of organizations in this country, it has been really very Orwellian and described in Orwellian language, which is like the name of his foundation, which you refer to. It's not to open society. It's to close society.
Right.
To restrict society. It is to limit society. It's against everything that open, democratic, Republican America is standing for. Now, I don't think that he counted on Trump winning.
No.
Not only, you know, he invested a lot of money in making it impossible, but some miracle happened to America and Trump won. I hope it will be really the miracle that we are all hoping for.
You know, one of the things that he did, it seems like, is he backed a lot of these And I know one of the things that you draw attention to is the way he's undermined this country's justice system. One of the ways he's done that is backing some of these far left woke prosecutors who are just trying to really undermine justice, correct?
Absolutely. And that was from the get-go. That was from when he started actually his activities in the United States in 1992, because he realized that by undermining the justice system, and he didn't want to have new laws passed, forget it. He didn't want to go waste money lobbying Congress when he actually can, and he managed to go to grassroots organizations to create new organizations and work in localities in different states, in different cities, in order to influence with a lot of propaganda and a lot of influencers. There were influencers even before the internet, right? Hollywood types and other people, celebrities, he used them in order to change public opinion.
Right.
And that way to influence the justice system and influence the what is happening with law and order in different states, throughout the United States. So it took a very long time for people to catch up when they actually realized that, oh, we have all these rogue prosecutors who the first day they come to office, when they are actually running for election, they promise to, eliminate crime and punish the criminals, etc. And when they get into office, they actually, and they will do reforms. Reforms were actually canceling, if not canceling literally, but actively ignoring the law, or making some new rules to the law, so they can defund the police.
Get rid of cash bail, things like that.
Release criminals. The police, even if the police have been arresting criminals, they were released upon bringing them before a prosecutor.
Yep.
So
we're talking with Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, author of The Soros Agenda. There's been a lot of conjecture, a lot of people who think that Soros has also been behind a lot of these pro-Hamas protests on college campuses. Is there any truth to that?
Yes. And how? As I actually documented in my book, The Soros Agenda, how he has been funding directly and much more often indirectly pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, pro-eliminate Israel organizations in the Middle East, and he has been doing it for decades. He even worked together with bringing the BLM and Hamas together and the other Palestinian terrorist organizations, which have been designated as such by the United States, not only by Israel. So and helping all kinds of pro-Palestinian terrorist groups, who of course very much adopted the slogans of the radical left, of the progressive left, or otherwise known as communists,
right? Yeah,
socialist communists, advocating so-called justice. So here we go back to justice again, right? It's social justice, it's racial justice, it's economic justice. It's climate justice, you name it, okay? So this has been his modus operandi, and it has been very successful and adopted by organizations that not only want to eliminate Israel and kill all the Israelis and the Jews everywhere, they also want to eliminate the United States because America is a imperialist oppressor.
Of course we are.
Like Israel, right?
Right. Oh, of course we are.
So this is, and of course, religion. So
yes.
Christianity is no good, Christians are close-minded people, and of course Judaism is of course very bad. and the Islamists, both the Islamists and the communists agree on that.
It's the religion of peace, right?
That's the religion of peace.
If folks are interested, again, the book is called The Soros Agenda. It's available on Amazon. And if folks want to find you online, they can find you on Twitter or X, for example, at Rachel Ehrenfeld, and that's Ehrenfeld, correct?
And they can, look up the website, American Center for Democracy, acdemocracy.org, and there is much more information about Soros, about who is funding the demonstrations, the anti-American, anti-Israeli, pro-Hamas demonstrations here, and about political Islam. There is a lot of information there. And about the economic warfare, really, against the United States.
Dr. Ehrenfeld, thank you again for joining us. A pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you.
Coming up, Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter will bring us our final Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Our final Laura Kelly theme song of the 2025 session. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Remind you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, from breaking news to severe weather updates, make sure you download the always live and free Odyssey app to get started. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show social media pages and follow us on X to get all the latest updates on the show. So the legislature, when they went back on Thursday, successfully overrode 12 vetoes on day one. That's in addition to the two that were already overridden earlier in the session. So they had a heck of a day one. With us now to kind of walk us through the veto session is Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter from Derby. My former roommate and office mate and cohort when we came in as freshmen. Blake, thank you for joining us always. And former host of this show, by the way, guest host.
It's always great joining you, John. Thanks for having me on.
I know you hate it when I remind people that we were roommates.
That's okay. That's okay. You got to live somewhere in Topeka. And the options these days are pretty limited.
That is true. So where do you want to start? You want to talk veto? You want to talk the accomplishments that you're proud of? My hope is to go veto, what you did, what left on the table that you were hoping to accomplish. So you pick the topic.
All right, we'll go with vetoes first. So we had a pretty stellar day last week. So the first day we went 12-0, and then the next day we went 15-0 with overriding specific line items in the budget. Now, I'll stick to overall, just try to real rapid fire on these bills. I mean, if you want, you can ask me questions. We'll get into them a little bit deeper. We're just going
to
go.
I don't even think you need to go through all of them. Just kind of give me the ones that people will know about, because there's a lot of rats and cats stuff, I imagine.
There are quite a few rats and cats. So regulatory sandboxes is one of them. And so what this is doing is it's creating a sandbox that allows entrepreneurs or businesses to come in, and if they are a new type of business or a new entity, it basically puts aside bureaucratic rules and regulations and allows that industry to basically test their product or test what they're doing, and it allows them to grow, and we cut the red tape for them. And this is just a way for them to basically open up their business or have people come here, open up businesses, and start industries potentially here in the state of Kansas with burdensome regulations, I guess, is a good way to put that. So Laura Kelly vetoed that, but we overrode her on that one. We think that it's going to end up being a positive for the state of Kansas. And then after that industry is established after a few years, then basically at that point, you know, some of these rules and regulations will start applying to them at that.
There was another one I saw: tax revenues come in higher than expected, it automatically lowers the income tax rate. She vetoed that. I thought Laura Kelly was the tax cut person. She's been running like she cut taxes.
Oh, well, she only cuts taxes on whatever we send her.
When she's up for re-election, too.
Ah, yes, yeah. That's also true.
That's true.
So what you're talking about is Senate Bill 269, and that is a bill that has triggers built into it. So as our economy grows, instead of just politicians – And unfortunately, I fall into that category.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you know, the politicians in Topeka, you know, those guys, not me, those guys,
well,
right?
Technically, you're not one right now because you're in Wichita, but.
Yeah, so this, what it will do is as money comes in and as our economy grows, that extra revenue that may have gone came in over the rate of inflation. So let's say that our revenues go up by 5%.
Which they have been lately, been exceeding estimates.
And actually we're going to have our new estimates out this next week on the 17th. The consensus revenue estimates are going to come out at that point. And so we're going to see if we brought in more money than we were expecting, which it'll probably be more than what we've been expecting because that's the way it's been lately. But let's say that inflation goes up 3%, but we bring in 5%. Well, that extra 2%, instead of us spending it on whatever government program, you know, sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns that none of us can vote against because, oh, that's such a good thing, whatever it is. No, it automatically is now tied to reducing income taxes and the burden that is there for your income taxes. And what it does over time, it buys down, it triggers down that income tax to where we get to a single rate. And so right now we have a two-tiered income tax rate here in the state of Kansas. And so what this will do is it will basically, through natural growth, bring it down to a one income tax for the state of Kansas for all residents.
And eventually, could it even lower that to zero? I mean, theoretically, could we get to a zero income tax state if we had excessive incomes or revenue, rather?
Theoretically, yes. We've seen other states that have already implemented similar systems to this. And so once you get – right now, our goal is to get from that two-tiered tax system to a one-tiered, because the people who have one tier are competing at a better level as far as a state goes compared to other states that have these progressive tax systems that have two or three or four or five different tiers. So our first goal is to get down to one single tier. And then after that, yes, if we have great economic booms, if we have great growth here in the state of Kansas, over time, that could absolutely reach zero.
You know, another one I saw, and again, some things that Governor Kelly vetoes, I don't understand. For some reason, she sided with deadbeat dads over, I mean, that one was a House Bill 2062, providing child support from the age of conception. This one seemed pretty straightforward to me, you know, and yet she vetoed it.
Yeah, and I think it's because she does not want to recognize that, you know, the child that is still in the womb is a human and is a child. A lot of the left don't want to recognize that. This piece of legislation does by basically saying that, hey, if you're a father, and you're either separating from your significant other or whatever, then you have to pay child support because that child is still incurring cost upon that mother, whether it's hospital visits or other thing, prenatal care, they are still needing support. And so that's what this is about. It's about those fathers still supporting those children that they have helped conceive in this process. But what it also does is it creates a double tax exemption for those children that are born. So, for instance, I got three kids that are born in January, March, and April. Well, they were all, you know, cooking in that prior tax year, but I don't get anything from it, right? Until that next year, and then now they're on the rolls. So by giving people a double exemption, any child that is basically born now
cooking,
any child that is born at the beginning of a year, they can now be claimed with that double exemption, and it gives them that tax incentive.
You're
from the
incurring
year prior.
Costs at that point, so why? I mean, it would help you to be able to claim them.
Yeah. So, if they're born early in the year, you actually are going to get now two double tax child exemptions for that one child that next year.
That's helpful. And we're talking with Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter. Another one. You know, so many of my listeners, so many folks in Wichita got frustrated with the COVID pandemics, with the lockdowns. I mean, we had a situation here. I think it was Harvey County or Butler County not too long ago where you had a school student that was forced by the health department that was forced to stay home for, I think it was 2 weeks. I think it was Harvey County, actually. She was forced to stay home because they thought she might be contagious. Turned out she wasn't. Senate Bill 29 basically removes the authority of health officials to prohibit public gatherings and some of the stuff, the nonsense of the lockdowns, basically, correct?
Yeah, so this
and again, Governor Kelly vetoed this.
She vetoed it. We overrode it. It's now Kansas law. And really what this bill, all it does is it guarantees you due process. So if a local health official tries to lock you up, within 72 hours, you can appeal to the court system, and the court system can review that case.
Which is what the student in Harvey County had to do, as I recall.
Yeah, and so honestly, all it does is it allows for checks and balances, and it doesn't give the government, you know, supreme authority over you, and whether it's something that is actually true or not, and it allows somebody to at least have due process if they are going to be locked in their home.
Let's talk about the budget bill. I know you guys did a lot on tax cuts, and you know, one of the things the left has been demonizing. Laura Kelly said you spend too much money. She didn't say you spent too much. She said you equated it to Brownback. She says she's worrying about the out years, and yet you cut a lot of taxes for folks, which is what we wanted. But people have to keep in mind, you also cut $1.47 billion in spending, which is the mistake that the legislature did before you and I came in, the year right before we came in. They cut taxes, but they didn't cut spending. In your case, you cut taxes, but you also cut spending, correct?
Yeah, so we've actually been cutting the spending. It's $1.47 billion was the number. Now, that was the number before some of the line item vetoes, so that number's probably a little off now at this point. But here's the thing, John. Our budget was lower than the governor's budget.
She blamed you.
And so it's cute that she's like, oh, these people are spending like drunken sailors. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. We spent less than what your proposed budget was. You can't. Okay, I guess you have the bully pulpit and the right. Media is very friendly to you. Yeah. So
they didn't bother to point that out.
No, they're obviously not going to point that out. Yeah. And so, no, we've cut spending. And another thing that the media and the governor are doing is they're talking about how, oh, we're going to be – this is Brownback all over again. We're broke in 2028. Well, John, there's like three or four more budget cycles between now and then.
Right, it's 3 years from now.
Yeah, and not only – I mean, we are looking and scrutinizing the budget. We're going to go back in next session, and we are diving even deeper into the budget. Actually – my team and I, we ended up requesting information from the administration, and they gave it to us a few weeks ago, and we're doing a deep dive into these budgets. So we asked for data that goes all the way back 10 years, and we wanted to see the inputs and outputs and actually get into the granular data and how the state of Kansas is spending our money. That document is 8.4 million lines, and we are currently going through and doing pattern analysis. We are going through and looking at ways where's the money actually being spent? Is it being spent on things that are necessary? And I think that by the time next session rolls around, we will have found efficiencies and we will continue to cut more spending inside the budget.
More Doge at the state level. I know we're kind of coming up on my break here. Let me ask you, were there any things, I'm sure there were, but things that you would have liked to have gotten to this session that it was a really abbreviated session? Were there things that you wanted to get to that you couldn't?
Well, you know, John, I think real quick, we obviously were going after some tax cuts, and I think that there's still some more work to be done on that. We completely eliminated the 1.5 mil property tax at the state level, and what that means is that the state of Kansas no longer has a single dollar of property taxes coming into our coffers now at the state level.
Let me ask you about that. I don't know if you saw, this was a social media post that came out from our former colleague, Scott Schwab, who is currently the Secretary of State. He's also running for governor. And he didn't pull any punches. He basically attacked the leadership of both chambers. I think it was more intended probably for Ty Masterson, who is likely to be his opponent in the governor's race. But he specifically attacked you guys for not doing more for property tax relief. And he didn't. I'm just curious what your thoughts are if you saw the post. And it I was kind of surprised that if he were to win, he was attacking the very people he was going to need to work with to get his agenda passed. But I'm curious if you saw the post and what your thoughts were.
I did see it yesterday. Appreciate the question. And as far as long-term strategy, no, it's not a very good one. You're basically, it's one thing to work with and negotiate with people, but I think to your point, it is him trying to beat up on one of his future opponents. The problem is that he is doing it in a way that I think is very unhealthy for him to have a good working relationship with the legislature should he actually end up winning that race. And here's another thing, John. over the last several years, we have actually cut $971 million in taxes. And so for him to come in and say, well, you didn't cut enough. Well, okay, we have to, this is an equation, you know, so we've cut almost $1 billion in taxes. And so we're a little bit low right now on our budget. And so, yeah, we're going to have to come in. We're going to have to figure out ways that we can afford those property tax cuts. So we're going to have to do more spending in order to be able to actually secure more cuts. But when it comes to property taxes, the vast majority of that burden is on local governments.
Yeah, schools primarily, and then counties and cities.
Yeah. And I mean, the legislature, the state has a mandated 20 mils of property tax that's redistributed across the state. It doesn't come to the state of Kansas itself. It stays at the local level for schools, but that's mandated by the courts. And so, okay, if we get rid of that, then where's that $850 million roughly coming from? Well, that would be a tax increase somewhere else, because we would not be able to just outright afford that. So,
and maybe the Secretary of State has a suggestion. I didn't see one in his post.
No, that's just it. It was completely, you know, he was beaten up on the legislature and proposed zero solutions. And so it's, okay, so it's the same old, same old. It's, okay, what are you going to do different?
I'm sure we'll have him on the show, and I'm sure that's something I will ask him. Blake, if folks want to connect with you, I know you're off now, so you're in the military. I know you've got a job and kids, three of them now. But if folks want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Absolutely, John. Well, feel free to look me up on the Kansas Legislative website. A lot of my contact information is there. Just go to the Kansas Legislative website, find my profile. It's pretty easy. Or you can also find me on Facebook, which is Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter, and feel free to follow me there.
Brother, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us. We'll take a quick break. Studio lines are open. Want to hear from you. What'd you think of the 2025 legislative session now that it's in the books? 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. If you're looking for a way to get involved in your local, state, or regional elections, I want to remind you, you have the power to change the trajectory of your city, your county, even our state. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. Get involved. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on social media. And find me and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. It's the best way to stay updated on the show. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll have Tyrus from Fox News with us. And one event to keep in mind, next Thursday is the monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. They will have former General Michael Flynn with them via Zoom. The meeting starts at 6:30 with a meet and greet, and then the meeting starts at 7. We had, during the break, we did have a caller call in who had a question about the Convention of States, and it did pass out of the Senate on final action. It was adopted, and then it was received and introduced in the House, passed the Senate on February 27th. It was referred to committee, the Committee on Federal and State Affairs, on the 28th of February. They had hearings, and that's where it's currently sitting. So it currently sits in the House. It looks like they did not have a chance. Keep in mind, this session ran really fast. So it was received in the House on March 17th. And, you know, here we are as the session was ending. So the bill's not dead because Fed and State is an exempt committee. So the bill's still sitting there. And my guess is it can be brought up at any time when they return for the 2026 session. So that's where it is. It did pass the Senate. So it'll be it'll be waiting when they take it up again. So if you're interested, you could always reach out to the Committee on Federal and State Affairs in the House and ask them. Ironically, the chair of that is Representative Tom Kessler, my buddy from Hayesville, South Wichita area. So if you're north part of Hayesville, my district was the south part of Hayesville, but Tom's from the Wichita area. You can reach out to him. And if you're interested in the House Committee on Federal and State Affairs, that's who I would reach out to, is Tom Kessler. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else from the Wichita area who you might. Leah Howell serves on that committee. Steve Hubert serves on that committee. Brian Bergkamp, my state rep, serves on that committee. So reach out to them. And Jill Ward, also from this area. Paul Wagner from Hutch. So that kind of gives you some ideas of who you could reach out to. And encourage them that, you know, to let them know if you're a supporter of the Convention of States, that's who you should reach out to and tell them, hey, I support this. I want you to consider it. I want you to vote yes. Got some good committee members, Ken Corbett, Ron Bryce, some great folks, very, you know, conservatives. So that kind of gives you an idea where it currently sits is in the House. So I was a supporter of the Convention of States. I voted for it whenever it came up before me when I was in the legislature. And it's unfortunate that it's taken so long to actually get something done on it. But, you know, eventually it'll get there. I know last time I had Mark Levin on, we talked about the Convention of States multiple times. But, you know, eventually they'll get there and we'll see where it goes. But it's interesting. Share with you a recent survey. This is a fascinating survey. It's the latest Survey USA poll. Talks about where people are and where America is and where they want their representatives to be. Few Democrats and Republicans said they want their respective parties to be more moderate, which, you know, they say moderation is where people want to be. Well, not according to this poll. 44% said they want the party to stay where they are. 40% say the party should be more conservative, Republicans. 50% of Democrats say they want their party to be more liberal. Like that's possible. Stick around. We'll play my interview with Riley Gaines when we get back. And after that, we'll play some of my man on the street interviews with some of the purple hairs. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars, and obviously make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, earlier this week, I went up to Lawrence, the old college stomping grounds, because my dear friend Riley Gaines was in town as part of Turning Points USA's college tour. I had the opportunity to sit down with her for an exclusive interview. It was so great to see her again. We'll play a little bit of that interview for you now.
Riley, thank you again. It's so nice to see you again. And in the liberal bastion, I went to KU, by the way. So this is the UC Berkeley of the Midwest. So I'm warning you. I hope you're ready for it.
I had no idea, right? I think you have in your mind that these conservative states, right? I know you guys have a liberal governor, but these conservative states, for the most part, are, you know, bastions of freedom. But what I've seen pretty much across the board, especially these academic institutions, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't even matter if you're on a Christian campus, like a smaller private school. It doesn't matter if you're at Cal Berkeley. It's all the same. They've been totally infiltrated by activists.
Oh, absolutely. And KU, I know from my own time here, KU is without a doubt one of the most liberal you're going to find. So hopefully the crowd is happy tonight. I know the folks out front that I talked to earlier were not too happy to have you here, but I'm happy to have you here. So speaking of college campuses, I do want to ask you, I just saw earlier this week, you went back to the University of San Francisco where you had that lovely warm reception a while ago. How was the reception this time around?
Well, as you could probably imagine, of course, the protest, the people who, I mean, want to throw me off a bridge, they still exist. And they're rearing their head, right? Like, I think most people are under the impression, maybe believe, that with Donald Trump back in office, all of this is over. These protesters are relentless. The people on the other side. And when I say the other side, I don't even really mean that in a political partisan way. I mean the other side of common sense, right? Mm-hmm. But that being said, the support was tenfold in comparison to 2 years ago. And I think that speaks to the shift that we have seen amongst the general public. How people are just more bold and more willing to put their face to something like this. Because again, 2 years ago, people wouldn't show up because they were scared to be associated with even being there, with even asking questions, with being curious, with wanting to learn about what was happening. It was, you know, effectively suicide for them in terms of their social circles and you know, their academic opportunities, whatever it is, career opportunities. They were terrified of being there. That wasn't the case this time.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think you're right. I think people are finally, not only are they waking up to the resistance, but they're waking up to letting their voices be told, be heard. And they're willing to step out and say, no, this is wrong. And you're seeing it more and more. I noticed you're starting to use the hashtag boycott. And we're seeing it more and more. I mean, we saw the disc golfer who stepped away, you know, the fencer who actually wouldn't compete. We're finally starting to see more and more of these courageous women who are saying, no, I'm not going to compete against a biological male. We're going to have to see more of that, aren't we, sadly?
Sadly, I believe so. This movement that I've dubbed as, boycott, with emphasis, of course, on the word boy there. It's just the most effective way to say no. Enough is enough. I'm not even going to allow you to discriminate against me on the basis of my sex. I think it's what we need to see. We've seen it in volleyball, right? You think of the Mountain West Conference, those five teams.
Right.
Boise State, University of Wyoming, Utah State, Southern Utah, and University of Nevada at Reno all weren't willing to play against San Jose State University. We saw the West Virginia girls, right? These were middle schoolers who in track and field, actually in shot put, a boy is about to throw with them, and these girls, they get up in the circle and they act like they're going to throw, and then they walk out. We saw Stephanie Turner, the fencer. We've seen Abby Wilson, the disc golfer. It's a growing movement, and truthfully, John, I wish I had this courage when I was competing, when I was faced with this issue. I didn't. I really didn't. But of course, I've grown. I've evolved. I'm so much more secure in my stance and understanding. Again, there's nothing to apologize for in standing for reality, standing for women. I didn't realize that at the time. So I think these women are incredibly brave and courageous.
It's sad that they have to do that, though. That's the one thing that every time I see these, I admire them, I'm proud of them, And yet I feel sorry for them that they have to take that stand, because it's unfortunate. I mean, they're giving up their opportunities for scholarships, for advancement, for trophies, for whatever, but they're, at least they're taking a principled stand. It's just sad that they have to do that.
There are so many people who failed them to allow it to get to that point, right? If you're looking at the young girls, again, like the West Virginia girls, their parents, their coaches, the athletic director, the principal. I mean, you could point fingers all day long. When 13, 14-year-old girls have to bear the burden of defending themselves, again, that's a tragic scenario. And it's easier said than done. I see a lot of people on social media who are conservatives, who are on our side on this issue, who are frustrated when girls don't boycott. Look, it is so much easier to say, you know, just step down, just don't compete, than to actually do it. Like, these girls have dedicated their entire lives, in most cases, to be able to compete, to be able to succeed. And again, I know, speaking in you know, and my own personal experience here, that national championships, it was the culmination of my career. It was the pinnacle of our sport. It's the fastest meet in the world. It's not easy to ask a girl to just step down and not compete, although I wish it was. It's not.
Well, and it's not only the principals and leaderships in universities. Look at what happened in Congress recently. The United States Senate, not a single Democrat would step up and vote for a bill that just protected and codified women's sports.
But then they show up the next day. It was the joint address to Congress the next day, which I was watching from the gallery. And the day after 45 U.S. Democratic senators vote no in opposition of protecting women and girls in sports, you have all of them, all of the women at least, in Congress and Senate, show up wearing pink to symbolize how they defend women's rights, which was remarkable to me. The gaslighting that they are projecting, they are banking on the American people being, number one, uninformed, and number two, too lazy to do their own research. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Americans who fall into that category. But I see right through it. These people don't defend women. They can't even define what a woman is. How can you defend what you can't even define?
That's true.
They hate women, quite frankly.
Speaking of women's sports, I have to ask you about what we're seeing right now overseas, across the pond, so to speak, the Women's Pool Billiards Championship, again, women's, and the two competitors are both biological males.
They really took made the best man win to like a whole new level here. I mean,
you'd think this was a Benny Hill skit or something.
Truthfully, it is like the first thought that I had. Honestly, you want to laugh at it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, why am I laughing at this? Like, real people, real women are being affected. There are real consequences here that women are having to bear. But you laugh because it's like a South Park episode.
Yes.
It's like a Babylon Bee headline. And I just pictured it in my head. You know, both of these men got to the final and were pissed that they were competing against another man. They're like, dang, I thought I was going to have the opportunity to trample on some women here. So, again, it's almost so ironic that it's funny. But again, to remember, like, there are real women who are losing out on prize money. And I've seen people tweet or post or whatever it is saying, you know, even again, people on our side who say, look, well, there's not really a safety concern here. There's no advantages that men possess over women in pool or billiards. Look, so long as there is a woman's category, it should be reserved for women.
Yeah.
If you want to have a separate conversation about making it gender neutral or making it co-ed or mixed sport or whatever, that's a separate discussion. But so long as there's a woman's division, it should be only for women.
It's still an opportunity, be it for scholarships or prize money or a Wheaties box or whatever. It should be. And again, it's a matter of respect. It's a matter of dignity and opportunity. And that's why, you know, you mentioned earlier when we first started about this still being a battle that we have to fight. And I think some people are getting complacent. You know, heaven forbid Kamala Harris won that election, because Lord knows what she would do. But here we've got congressional elections coming up not too long. We'll have a presidential election in 3 years. And That's all it's going to take, is for us to lose ground. The we may have won a battle, but the war still rages, right? It won't take anything for us to lose ground, and they'll be right back at it.
Well, number one, if Kamala Harris had won on November 5th, I genuinely, truthfully, from the bottom of my heart, believe we would be in World War III right now. And to your point, look, they've allowed the reason they've been able to acquire every inch of the public square in the way that they have, including, of course, our government, media, entertainment, Hollywood, corporate America, academia, like the list goes on. But, I mean, healthcare, it doesn't matter. They've acquired every inch of the public square, the Democrats have. It's because they have laid the groundwork over decades.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are under the assumption that, you know, over the past 5 years, they've really been able to succeed with all this. It's been going on so much longer than 5 years. It's been decades they've laid this groundwork. That's why it's the same groundwork that allowed them to carry out the actions and the manipulation that we saw with COVID. It's the same thing with the gender ideology movement. So many parallels in terms of the emotional blackmail, the manipulation, coercing people to, again, ignore what they know to be true, what they know to be reality, in both cases actually biological reality. So while it's great that we're seeing the Trump administration really do a lot of exposing and highlighting the problems, it's really just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, it is so nice to see you again. You know, I love having you on and folks at the center, which I'm just so proud of you. I remember when you were just starting this fight and what you've been able to do. What's next? Are you going to run for office or something? I mean, when am I going to get to see you on a ballot or something? I'm just so proud of what you've been able to do. I notice, again, you're wearing the XX is not equal to XY t-shirts. I know you've got that. What's next on your playbook?
You know, it's such a good question because I feel like I've approached that question, you know, what's next for you, pretty selflessly over the past few years. Because
yes, you got married. Like, that was one.
Getting married, you know, like all of the things. But it's like wherever I need to be, I'm there. But now, again, like I feel like we're in a place where now we at least have the ability to have impact. So it is like I get to kind of look at this now, like, what do I want to do? You mentioned running for office. I don't think I'm that, like, clinically insane yet. I think you do have to be, like, a level of clinically insane to run for office.
Or a narcissist, and you're not that much of a narcissist.
Totally. God bless the good people who do, because we absolutely need them. But you know, I don't know if that's for me yet. Truthfully, I think the next step for me is family. I think that's where me and my husband go. We've been married for 3 years. Of course, still fighting this fight and the subsequent battles that come with it. My husband and I, we've been dealing with the battle of immigration, given the fact that he's from across the pond. Of course, legal immigration. So have been kind of immersed into that space. The battle of school choice is another one that I feel very passionately about. Being a voice for the unborn, again, another cultural battle that I just feel so passionately about. So, of course, there are still, I mean, I will continue to be an activist. Because truthfully, I think we need more activists on our side. Again, the side of common sense, the side of sanity. So I'll continue doing that, and we'll see where that leads.
Well, I love you. It's so good to see you again, and we'll keep in touch. And maybe the next time you make a swing through the Midwest, we'll have to follow you to that one as well.
I'm there. Thank you. You're the best.
It is always fun to sit down with her, and what's so sweet is just her genuine, her how genuine she is and how sweet she is. If you're interested in connecting with her, you can always follow her on X at Riley_Gaines, and of course at the Riley Gaines Foundation, which I'm so proud of her for what she's been able to do there. So she is absolutely just a rock star. The Benny Hill music. Very nicely done. I see what you did there, Phil. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll play some also good intro music for the next segment. We'll play some of the Man of the Street conversations. I spent about an hour walking around to some of the people, shall we say, out front. Well, you know, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about my friends at Americans for Prosperity. They believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find me on X at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to get all the latest updates on the show. So before the event at KU, we were outside Budig Hall, which is one of the, excuse me, one of the larger halls on the main street, main drag there on at the KU campus. And I went ahead and started talking to some of the protesters. There was a pretty decent crowd there, Phil. It was a pretty good crowd. At one point, I went over to the Palestinian, the pro-Palestine folks. There was even one guy who had the whole gays for Hamas, gays for Palestine. And he wouldn't talk on the air. But I did ask him, let me ask you, because you know, he had a sign that said pro-gay, pro-Palestine. And mm-hmm. I did ask him, let me, you know, how does this work exactly? Because you do know Hamas is the authority there. You do know what happens to gays in under the Hamas. And he says, well, no, Hamas is they're not the leaders. They're not them. I said, no, mm-hmm. Hamas is the authority there. And if they find that you're gay, they execute you. You know, he's, oh, no, it doesn't really work that way. I said, oh, okay. So, you know, not a lot of these folks are grounded in reality. So the first lady, what I tried to do was I would read the sign so that my audience could hear what their sign was. Mm-hmm. And then I would ask about their sign and try and engage them in conversation. I will tell you, these conversations are somewhat edited because many of the responses could not be played on the air. So this first lady.
Okay, before we begin,
yes.
Did you suit up in like catcher's gear?
No, I was wearing my KNSS logo shirt.
Very good.
And just carrying a microphone. And if they asked who I was, I said, I'm, you know, with the radio station KNSS out of Wichita. So
fair enough.
I really did want to wear like a MAGA hat, but then I figured I would need a bodyguard. So
probably so.
Okay. Yes. So the first lady had a sign and we started talking about trans athletes. And she believes that trans athletes competing, you know, biological males competing in women's sports is fair.
So your sign says it's never been about fairness in women's sports. Do you think it's fair for biological males to play in women's sports? I mean, just this week we saw a biological male win disc golf. And in Europe, they've got two biological males competing for the women's pool championship.
You just not call them biological males. That's really offensive to me.
But isn't that scientifically accurate?
No, it is not scientifically accurate. No, there is genetics. Call them a transgender woman because that's what they are, gender. And I find the world is hating them and treating them unfairly. Yes, it's absolutely a hate. Complete hate.
So is
pause
it hate
it. Pause it right there for me, Phil. You're going
to
hear this a lot, folks. There's a lot of that. In any opposition, any time that you disagree with them, hate. You're going to hear hate a lot in these segments, just to let you know, folks. Okay, go ahead and resume. I'm making this very difficult on Phil, by the way. But yes, you're going to hear that a lot.
Do you think it's fair for biological males to play in women's sports? I mean, just this week we saw a biological male. So your sign says it's never been about fairness in women's sports. Do you think it's fair for biological males to play in women's sports? I mean, just this week we saw a biological male win disc golf. And in Europe, they've got two biological males competing for the women's pool championship.
You just not call them biological males. That's really offensive to me.
But isn't that scientifically accurate?
No, it is not scientifically accurate. No, there is genetics. Call them a transgender woman because that's what they are, gender. And I find the world is hating them and treating them unfairly. Yes, it's absolutely a hate. Complete hate.
So is it hate for someone to say, someone who's born male, to take away scholarship opportunities or prize money opportunities?
How many scholarships?
If it happens once, isn't it wrong?
No, they're not taking away anything. They're taking what is also rightfully theirs.
Yeah, that was another argument that I heard quite a bit. It happens so rarely that it's all right. It's justified because it doesn't happen very often. And you know, I tried to push back and say, well, even if it happens once, you know, and then I tried to use an argument that said, well, what happens if another minority? Well, then, of course, the argument is, again, they didn't like hearing arguments. The next one we talked about was whether or not, again, opposing men in women's sports was hate. And, of course, you'll hear it's the same message.
You know, we're just trying not to promote hate. That's why I'm here, because I don't appreciate anybody promoting hate. And Riley Gaines gets paid to promote hate, and it's sad.
How is she hateful in her rhetoric?
Her rhetoric is hateful.
Specifically, what does she say that's hateful?
Let me tell you, my 93-year-old dad got a letter from her that I can't even repeat the first paragraph of vulgar things that Riley Gaines said people called her when she is calling trans people those things. I was appalled.
Can you be specific? There's something that she said that was hateful? Because I've not heard her say anything hateful.
It was all hateful, it was all vulgar, and it was all ugly.
But you can't say specifically.
I'm not going to say those words. I can't believe that my dad and his wife got him in the mail on a piece of paper for 93-year-old people.
But you can't say specifically what it was.
So horrible. And so that is a way to promote hate.
And again, it's hateful, but she can't tell me specifically what it was. She wouldn't say, couldn't say, couldn't remember. Now, she did say that Riley Gaines had received hateful messages, but then everything Riley Gaines says, and I have heard Riley speak at least a dozen times now, some in person, some online, some, you know, on TV. I've never once heard Riley Gaines say anything hateful. In fact, she is the epitome of respect, and yet it's hateful. Whatever. The next one we talked about had a sign about Donald Trump and how Donald Trump is a racist.
Okay, well, I'll ask you about this one first. So the first one here says, Donald, I'm assuming you mean Donald Trump, has more rape convictions than trans athletes in the NCAA. Let me start with, he's not been convicted of any rapes. So what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that the fact that over 26 women have said, hey, this man did unspeakable things to me.
That's an accusation. That's not a conviction, though.
I understand, but he also went to court. And because America loves billionaires, they just said, no, because he's president, we're not going to do anything. Okay. So it's more about, like, you know.
But would you say then your sign's not accurate?
I'm not done talking. Okay. I'm not done.
I'm not done talking.
America works for the rich. They love the billionaires. So this whole problem is very intersectional. So there's a lot of different moving parts. So when you read my sign,
she was a piece of work.
It's to make you stop and think and be like, why did we let this man into office? Sorry, not me.
Well, he was elected by the majority, by 77 million Americans. That was a majority. It's a democratic process.
The margin between Harris and Trump was significantly smaller than people lead to believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, people look at Fox News and they're
and
like,
and we're the election denier.
I see, you know, this huge margin, but actually, no. People are thinking that the land votes. The land doesn't vote. I mean, have you ever looked at a map?
Do you doubt the election outcome?
I doubt that the election was reported accurately. Do I think that he's president? Yes, because we have a democracy. Does that mean I love the decision? No, I don't. And I will do everything in my power to stand up for those people who can't.
Needless to say, she had purple hair. Okay. Back to the old message that you've heard already from two of the other speakers. We're back on hate. This time, it's Christianity that is founded on hate.
Let me see the other one. We'll see. I'm a non-binary collegiate swimmer. You tied fairly. Okay, so you're a non-binary college. So what does non-binary mean?
Non-binary means that I don't see myself always as a woman, and I don't see myself as a man. My gender is fluid, and gender is a spectrum. You're talking to an anthropologist here.
She's on the spectrum already.
So I've done a lot of studying about this and about people in different cultures and sexuality. So I'm pretty confident in saying that I am non-binary.
Someone who's non-binary, you should be able to do that, correct?
Anyone of any age should be able to say, I'm gay, I'm straight, I'm trans, I'm whatever. Anyone has that right to say that.
We're a free country, you have that right. At the same time, as a free country, don't other people have a right not to recognize that?
It's not really fair. You can't say to someone, you're not lesbian because I don't think you're lesbian. Because are you that person? No. Are you allowed to say that I'm not bisexual?
Am I allowed to say I don't care?
Yes, you are, but you're not allowed to invalidate my sexuality.
How is me not
recognizing it, invalidating it.
Because you're basically saying that it doesn't exist. That's what it boils down to. I'm assuming that you're probably a Christian man, and a lot of people in Kansas are Christian.
I just don't discuss it because I don't figure it's anybody's business.
A lot of this hatred for LGBTQ and queer members comes from Christianity as a whole.
And again, hate comes up. So opposition equals hate to these folks. You can't object to them. You can't disagree with them and not be hateful. This last one was very interesting. We had a lengthy conversation. At one point, she actually admitted that males competing in women's sports is sometimes unfair, but opposing that is still bigoted.
So your sign says, don't let Turning Point make a hateful bigot out of you. What about Turning Point USA or this event tonight is hateful or bigoted in your opinion?
Well, I think they are looking at very innocent people, trans, lesbian, gays, whatever, and thinking that somehow they're monsters, when in fact those people who are making those innocents monsters are the monsters.
But what is about this event is hateful or bigoted?
There are so few trans athletes. And from all that I read and hear from medical personnel who
Nothing
actually know
specific,
how the body
by the
functions,
way, to answer my question.
The things that you have to go through to be the person you feel you
Again,
are
no
as a
specific
trans
answer to my question.
Really make you less likely to be a fully capable person in your
question.
Physical abilities. So,
do you think biological males have a competitive advantage over their female opponents in sporting events?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
And is that fair?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
So if it's not fair, how is it bigoted or hateful to then be opposed to it?
I'm not opposed to all athletes competing with each other. I'm opposed to her picking out one person who tied with her, not the other four who beat her.
Well, they were women, but...
And
know,
making a big, ugly scene about no one that's trans should be able to compete
yes,
with me. Or compete with somebody who is the same sex that they are.
Oh, yeah. It was entertaining, to say the least. And then I got to go spend some quality time with Riley, which really improved my evening, trust me. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills. And then Dr. Stanley Ridgely will detail how the President's Department of Education has called out to account five Ivy League schools for their mismanagement. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney+ and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Quick programming note, Andy Hoosier, my buddy at the other station, we'll just leave it there, and I are going to go down to Nafsker Park next Saturday, do some man-on-the-street interviews with those protesters as well. So we'll play that for you next Sunday. Want to remind you as well, stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, find and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. According to a new report, DEI gurus siphoned funds for education into social engineering programs. They suckered and swindled some of the smartest people in the U.S., cost universities dearly in terms of funds and reputations, and ruined the livelihoods of countless faculty members. With us now to expose some of the DEI scam is Dr. Stanley Ridgely. He's a clinical full professor of strategic management at Drexel University. He holds a doctorate and master's in international relations and security from Duke University. As a KU grad, I won't hold that against him, even though we fought many times in attorney. And an international MBA from Temple University. Dr. Ridgely, thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, John, it's great to be here. I don't hold that against you either. Okay,
okay, all right. That's we'll set aside our college hoops rivalry. You know, what's interesting is if you look at it, there's really a striking contradiction between what, you know, DEI's stated aims, their on paper goals, and the practical effects, isn't there?
There certainly is. There's a big difference. And most people, good, you know, people of goodwill think that DEI means, oh, we're just going to create a level playing field.
Yeah.
We're just going to give everyone a fair shot at the brass ring. We're just going to teach about race and slavery.
Yeah, really puppy dogs and rainbows.
Yes, it's none of those things. If any of that happens, it's simply as a byproduct. What it really is, and this is what they've been trying to keep, they've done a good job of putting a fig leaf on it and covering it up, it's a noxious, toxic ideology of villains and victims, of oppressors and oppressed, and of exploiters and exploited. And all of this happens under the rubric of a white racist America with a dominated by a white supremacy culture. And so this is a doctrine of DEI that is expounded on the college campuses, that young people, our college students, are trained in this along with faculty and staff. And it's a very primitive binary ideology. And this is the dirty secret of DEI. And I, for one, am delighted that it's being run off the campuses right now by the current administration.
The sad part here is these institutions of higher learning have basically abandoned the whole notion of merit, of, you know, intellectual integrity in favor of, I don't know if you want to call it conformity or being afraid. You know, it almost reminds me of what Al Sharpton used to do back in the day. You know, these colleges are afraid to stand up for their core principles because then they'll be, you know, run out of town or shamed by this, for lack of a better term, this race mob.
Well, yeah, John, you know, you remind me of Jesse Jackson and his protection racket.
Yeah,
he used to run that same thing where he would just say, you know, a nice company you've got there. Be a shame if something happened to it. Why don't you give us a donation for Operation Push and we'll ensure that that doesn't happen. Yeah, that's what happened with DEI in 2020, 2021. And they said basically, you know, we got a villains. It's basically in psychology, it's called the virtuous villain, virtuous a victimhood scam where we're going to blame you for all of the ills that afflict a certain group, and we're going to let you purchase absolution from us by letting us come on the college campus, pay us hefty salaries, and we're going to train your people out of this horrible racism that that permeates the campus. Well, you and I both know that there's almost no racism on the college campuses today.
Reverse racism, but
yes, and it's a bizarre, because black professor Randall Kennedy, who's at Harvard University, says campuses are the least racist places in America.
Yeah,
you've got to work hard to find something, and if you can't find something, you'll make it up, a racial hate crime, hate hoax, I should say. And so this is permeated our campuses. It is a protection racket. It is run by a bunch of mediocrities, modestly educated, with no discernible skill sets. And they have been given, the run of the campus. They have spread out into the campuses. They affect the faculty hiring, what we can teach, what courses we teach, and how we teach them. And thank goodness the Department of Education has finally called a halt to this absurd nonsense, which is akin to, astrology or alchemy or pseudoscience or superstition coming back onto the college campus. It's a very primitive ideology when you get down to it. Good and evil, oppressors and oppressed. And the thing is, you can determine who a villain is or a victim is simply by the color of their skin.
Right.
Noxious and terrible.
The sad part is that the two things that theoretically DEI was supposed to advocate for, fairness and freedom of speech, are actually the two biggest, sacrifices here. It's the two casualties, because there's nothing fair about it. And you certainly aren't free to speak your mind, because if you do, well, you're deemed a racist, or you're deemed a bigot, or, I mean, insert colorful metaphor here.
That's exactly what the case that we have on the campuses today. And certainly I've experienced that. Certainly I've seen enough of it. I've gotten enough reports from students that this is what's going on. And I think that the tide is turning, however, as the noxious aspects of DEI are being exposed, and the notion that we should accept people based on their merit, based on what they can do, not how they look.
Right.
And I think that, and the pendulum is swinging back. We're having to force that pendulum to swing back, I should say. But we are indeed, I think, in a restoration of our higher education system, and I'm delighted to see it. I should tell you that the DEI folks have been largely a part of the anti-Semitism we've seen on the college campuses that has run rampant over the last year and a half. And they have basically made this possible by supporting the pro-Hamas demonstrators on campus as righteous liberators of the oppressors, who are the Israelis/Jews. And they basically have said that Jews are not worthy of protection by DEI because they are basically oppressors under our definition, no matter what happens to them. So I have an entire chapter devoted to that in my book, DEI Exposed. So it's a very interesting phenomenon, but one I think we can examine and roll back.
Dr. Ridgely, again, thank you. The book is called DEI Exposed, How the Biggest Con of the Century Almost Toppled Higher Education. If folks are interested, they can find it on Amazon, and you're on X at Stanley Ridgely, and that's RIDGLEY, correct?
That is correct. Thank you so much, John. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Dr. Ridgely. Thank you for joining us this evening. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. I can't imagine anyone in this audience is going to call up to defend DEI. We'll see. Maybe. Heck, maybe they want that BLM mural back on the streets of D.C. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. If you're looking for a way to get involved in elections, obviously you could get involved in a campaign. You can work with the county party, or you can volunteer with Americans for Prosperity. If you're looking to door knock or make phone calls or just find a way to get involved, AFP is a great way to get involved. You can make your voice heard today by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up. And, of course, while you're online, John Whitmer Show, Facebook page, True Social, and at John R. Whitmer on X. A couple of quick programming notes. First off, we will be with you next Sunday. It is Easter Sunday, but we always are here on Easter Sunday. We'll play Easter Bonnet. We always, you know, we do Easter song. This will be your first Easter with me, won't it be?
Yes, it will.
Yeah, find Easter Bonnet. It's in there. John Whitmer Show. You know the song. In your Easter bonnet, oh, with all the thrills upon it. You know the
You're
song?
Seeing the confused look on my face. You'll so find obviously, it. Yeah.
It's in the show music. You'll find Easter Bonnet.
I need to do some show
in
prep
the Easter
before next week.
Parade. If you look Easter Parade, good look. Go ahead. Look while I'm talking. You'll find it. You can even play a little bit tonight. Also want to remind folks, next Sunday, Tyrus will be with us, and this Thursday coming up, Sedgwick County Republican Party meeting with General Michael Flynn. So, lastly, I want to just wish everybody a if you celebrate, yesterday evening marked the beginning of Passover, an important holiday in the Jewish calendar. It celebrates the Israelites' liberation from slavery in Egypt. So, if you celebrate Passover, a happy Passover to those of you who celebrate. So. You find it?
I did.
So play. See, now you can play. Now you'll see and make sure that you know what I'm talking about. You'll be playing it next Sunday because I always play this on my Easter Sunday show. And well, I think Ron Estes, Congressman Estes, will be with us next Sunday. And there you go. It's your Easter bonnet with all the thrills upon it. You'll be the grandest lady. Yesterday was my mother's birthday, by the way. She passed a number of years ago, but this is always a fun time of year for me. She loved this movie. She loved Easter. And so that's why this is
nice. You know, the next time I hear this song will be the second time that I've heard this
song. You're a smart aleck. Roger, thank you for sticking around. You're on the John Whitmer Show while I take Phil out back and whoop him one. Thank you for sticking around, Roger.
Oh, thank you, John. You're no match for Bing Crosby.
Thank you. See, he even knew the song. See, he knows. Roger knows. Yeah. Phil didn't know. But yes, that was Bing Crosby was the original version of that. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Old Bingles.
You know, I tried to get a hold of your colleague yesterday morning on his morning show. He didn't take one phone call.
Ah, well.
But what I wanted to ask him, since he had the mayor on, if she would issue a proclamation of Day of Visibility, and this would unite everyone, you just need to add an S to the LGBTQ, and the S stands for straight.
You know, we're not allowed to celebrate that. Didn't you know that? See, we don't count. You can't celebrate white. You can't celebrate Christian. You can't celebrate straight. Sorry. It's the one denomination we're allowed to prejudice against, discriminate against. And, you know, I am so tired. By the way, folks, if you have time, and Roger, I appreciate the call. If you have time on Tuesdays, go down to Wichita City Council and support the conservatives on the city council, support J.V. Johnston, support Dalton Glasscock, and support our mayor, because she in particular is taking a lot of heat right now. Every week, the Rainbow Mafia is in there taking up their 5 minutes to rail about a nonsense resolution that is been exhausting media. I mean, talk about getting way more than the 5 minutes of coverage that it deserved to get. This thing was so stupid. That story should have died a week ago, and it's just continuing to go on. The mayor is focused on, they've got budget shortfalls. They've got, you know, stuff that needs to be done. They've got to hire a new city manager. They've got spending issues. They've got, you know, potholes that need to be fixed. And these people are worried about a bunch of nothing. And every week she's got 10 of these ethics complaints that are all nonsense. She didn't do anything unethical. And these people are just, I mean, haters gonna hate. And that's all this is people who are mad. Brandon Whipple's little cronies that are just going down there because Brandon lost his election. Mayor Farquaad lost his election, and they're dragging her through the mud. And frankly, it's despicable. Where's the National Organization of Women? Where's the, I mean, this is, you know, all the time in the left, they say, well, you wouldn't do this if this was a woman or if this was a man. Well, why don't we can't say this about them? Because they're abusing her. They're being mean. They're being despicable. I've seen some of the hate mail that she's received. It's vile. It's vulgar. It's disgusting. And it's time this stuff ends. You know, you got an election coming up in a while. You can take it out on her then if you don't like her. But this is nonsense. And frankly, we should be better than this. The city should be better than this. Move on. And I'm just so sick and tired of her getting drugged because she took a moral stand and a principled stand on something. You know, folks, you have a right to disagree. She has a right to disagree, too. And I'm tired of it. And there's my soapbox, and I'll climb down off of it. Next week, Tyrus will be with us. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.